In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They couldn't do it. Sit here while I pray. They couldn't do it. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. But they fell asleep. Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. 1 hour! No, they couldn't do it. Neither can we. Oh, how weak we are. Those are the meaning of Jesus' words. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Even though we are believers in Christ, as the disciples were believers in Christ, Peter and the others were not being insincere in the things that came out of their mouth. The corruption of original sin still permeates every aspect of our lives. Our bodies are racked with sin. Our souls, our wills, our affections, our loves, our desires, they're all corrupted by sin. This is what it means. The flesh is weak. I'm going to try at this moment and for the rest of the day not to have an evil thought. Try it and see how successful you are. And then you get to the end of the day and say, you know, I think I've done quite well. Arrogant, proud, self-righteous. How often over the past year have we been in terror because of the fear of death? That same fear is all over the Passion. Judas was afraid to die, so he betrayed Jesus. Yeah, he was afraid to die. He saw what Jesus was doing and the kinds of threats that came upon him and his disciples, and he was afraid of that. It is almost as if he wanted to put Jesus out of his own misery. The disciples were afraid to die. So when the soldiers came and they arrested Jesus and they saw the scourging and the brutal treatment, they ran away in fear. I don't want that to happen to me. The young man in the Garden of Gethsemane was afraid to die, spying on what was happening. Covering his naked body was only his linen cloth, and when the soldiers grabbed him, he ran for his life. Peter, with all of his boasting, "I will never deny you," he was afraid to die. So he denied his Lord and swore on oath, "I do not know the man." These were the apostles, the men who were supposed to be the foundation of the church. Oh, what great strength they had. Bah, humbug. They had no such strength. Pontius Pilate was afraid to die. Yes, he was. Fearing the loss, not simply of his position, but if he can't keep order there in Jerusalem and in Judea, he would lose his life at the hands of the emperor. And so he gave in to the pressure and sentenced an innocent man to death. Without faith in Christ, which is highlighted by Jesus' words, "The Spirit is willing." Without faith in Christ, fear will consume us. Haven't we seen this over the past year? Fear will consume us apart from faith in Christ, and there will be no salvation nor any kind of deliverance from the corruption of sin that infects our lives and permeates our existence. Without faith in Christ, we will end up like Judas Iscariot. Mark well he lost his salvation, not because of the sin of betrayal, but rather because of impenitence and because he feared the cost of discipleship. He took his life into his own hands. He tried to be his own savior because the path that was set before him as a disciple of Jesus, he could not bear. No one can. Ironically, he took his own life trying to save his life. To paraphrase Jesus in another place, what shall it profit a man if he saves his life only to lose it? Because faith in Christ has slipped through his fingers. Such are the times in which we live, where faith is placed everywhere else for security and comfort and peace of mind and good health, but in the Lord who is Creator and Redeemer. Without faith in Christ, you and I are like the young man who followed Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane. Afraid to die, he ran away naked when the soldiers grabbed him, leaving his linen cloth garment in their hands. The scene reminds us of another garden after the fall. Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Left to ourselves, we are all, every single one of us, weak, just like the sinful characters in the Passion of our Lord. Afraid, misguided, arrogant, often self-righteous, we know better than God. But in the end, without faith in Christ, there is no life. And we are naked and alone. But Jesus has not left us alone. It is what the Passion teaches us. It is the Passion, which means suffering, not only of his cross, but it is the Passion of his love for the weak and the powerless and the sinful. He has not left us naked or to ourselves in our own fear. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves, that through faith in him, you and I might be restored to life and reconciled to our Heavenly Father, clothed with Jesus' robe of righteousness forever. And so Jesus prays in the garden, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." He's bearing the grief and the weight of the world's sin, but without fear. The Passion opens up to us the intimate details of what our Lord suffered on our behalf. With the weight of the world's sin resting upon him, his suffering was excruciatingly painful, not only physically, but in these words, he speaks of his soul, his human soul, given to him in his conception by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. His soul was enduring the grief, the sorrow of a human soul that was ripped from God who gave him life. That's the nature of Jesus' suffering, body and soul. You see, to be truly a man made in the image and the likeness of the triune God of love means that a man, a true man, always desires to be in communion with God, always desires never, ever, 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 ever to be separated from the life and the love that is in God alone. To live without God is no life at all. Despite what the world teaches us or what the sinful flesh teaches us. Sin destroyed this desire to have life with God, to never be shorn from this life. That is why there is no real peace, contentment, or fulfillment for those who seek life apart from God. That kind of life is really an empty life. It is a charade. But in Jesus, we see the proper desire of a man, a real man, made in the image and likeness of God, the way God intended for man to be, to live in holy communion with God. And this is the yearning that Jesus rightfully expresses in his prayer, Abba, Father, this term of love and endearment for his Father. All things are possible for you. Take this cup of suffering away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Who among us can pray this prayer? Knowing that to say, not my will, but thine be done, may mean persecution or suffering or an excruciating death. Who can do this? For us, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus is the real man that the corruption of sin prevented us from becoming. He loved his Father with all his heart and soul and mind and strength. But because he loved his Father so, he yielded to his Father's will to lay down his life for us, to save life. Jesus let go of his life. This is the mystery of the gospel. It is what calls us here this morning and throughout this week, this mystery of God's self-giving, sacrificial love to save life. Jesus let go of his life out of love for the Father, which was more important than holding on to his life. Some things are more important than staying alive. Jesus taught us that. God's Word, the Holy Sacraments, confessing Christ in the face of danger to a fallen world. Those things matter most because those things give us Jesus and the only life that is worth living. You and I are weak. We are destitute, afraid, and naked, like the young man who ran away in the Garden of Gethsemane. But we are here this morning precisely because of our weaknesses and fears. Because Jesus was not afraid to let go of his life so that we might live. We are here this morning because he clothes us each day anew with the robe of righteousness that covers our naked bodies and souls with forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins from Jesus through his death and the shedding of his blood. That's what restores life with God. That's what gives us peace. This is why Jesus said some difficult words earlier in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 8, to be precise, words that just lay us bare. But they call us to repentance, and they are the words of life and the cost of discipleship. Whoever desires to save his life, he said, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. To these words of Jesus, the call to repentance and faith. We weak, helpless, fearful believers can only pray, Lord, have mercy upon us. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Take away our fear. Forgive us our sin. Strengthen our faith. Give us your peace. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.